Tailgate Nation, it's finally here. Do you feel it? Do you sense it? Are you ready? The NFL season is starting this weekend, and there's no better way to do that than to check out BetDSI.com. They've got over 20 years of experience in business, and they're a top-rated business, and it's safe to play. I play there all the time. BetDSI.com's beginning of season special right now is free $25 to try the service when you use the code TAILGATE25. And the cool thing is BetDSI is also offering 100% bonus on your first deposit. NFL fantasy matchups and player versus player wagers, hundreds of NFL wagers, NASCAR, Formula One, UFC, even Trump versus Clinton, and throw in Gary Johnson there. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI. So go to BetDSI.com right now and use the promo code TAILGATE25 for a free $25 to try the service. That's BetDSI.com and enter the code TAILGATE25. Go there now. That's BetDSI.com.
From coast to coast and border to border, it's Tailgate Radio.
Hey, Tailgate Nation, thank you so much for downloading episode number 103, 103 episodes of our virtual tailgate party that we blast to all 50 states, all provinces in Canada, and over 50 countries across this big blue marble we call Earth. I'm the Grill Sergeant, John Largent, and we've got a great show for you this week. I want to remind you, first of all, to go over to our website at tailgateradio.com to check out all the great things going on over at our website. You can also jump on the social medium, easy for me to say, social media bandwagon over at Tailgate Radio on Twitter. We've got a great Twitter family that is very active and really interacts with us on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, really. We get some great ideas for guests, recipes, ideas, pictures of your tailgates across the country and across the globe. And it's not a, there's not a better place for you to interact with like-minded people that love the tailgating lifestyle than over at our Twitter page at Tailgate Radio. I also want to thank our sponsors who help keep this show free every single week. And we've got some great sponsors, including BetDSI.com, Indochino.com, and the fine folks over at Coors the Banquet Beer. Again, we thank you for supporting the show and helping to keep this show free, and I really appreciate the listeners for continuing to go over to their websites and support those brands each and every week. I know everybody's excited that football season is back. We got some great feedback this week from tailgate clubs, alumni associations all across the country, both at the college level and at the NFL level. And it was a great first week of football at every level. Of course, the Canadian Football League is still going strong. High school football is going strong. And from a fan perspective, this is the best time of year because you have all the major sports at the same time, except for basketball. And last week was just a absolute banquet of, I mean, I didn't travel last week. I literally spent 12 hours both days, Saturday and Sunday, watching football at some level. Whether I went to a local game or I watched football on television, football is back. I've gotten some great recipe ideas that I was trying out back in the, I call it the grilling laboratory, because before I introduce it to friends or family, if I'm cooking or grilling, I've got to check it out myself and make sure that I know what I'm doing. And so I've got a great setup at my home base where I can actually try some new ideas, be secret about it, to make sure that I get it right, I don't ruin anything. And then once I've mastered it, I can then incorporate it into any home gating that I do, or if I'm out in the parking lot on the grill out there with fans and friends of football or NASCAR or wherever else I'm at. But I very much want to make sure I know what I'm doing before I before I introduce any new recipes or anything that have been suggested. And I tell you, you guys don't let me down. And I've had to look at some things with a jaundiced eye. I got a recipe for peanut butter burgers. And I was like, that's got to be nasty. That's got to be a rib on me. That can't be real. But it was. And it was pretty darn good. It was pretty darn good. I'm not going to share that recipe because it kind of grossed me out to do it until I did it, until the final product was there. You know, it's kind of like you don't necessarily want to know what's in your hot dog. You don't want to know that process. The final result, absolutely. But sometimes you don't want to know what goes in your hot dog and into the making of said hot dog. But in this case, peanut butter burgers, you could probably find it online somewhere. But that was one of the many little interesting tidbits we got this week. So I'm going to jump right into a subject that a lot of people reached out to Tailgate Radio this week about. And I don't really like to get political, and I'm not going to get political. I'm going to make sure that the statement's not political. But it can't be ignored that the first weekend of football was, I don't want to say tainted, but certainly another instance in which the NFL has shrouded itself in controversy. Of course, I'm talking about the Colin Kaepernick not kneeling not respecting the standing of the national anthem before the game. And I'm going to take a little different perspective than most people. And I want to make sure that I'm real clear about where this falls into to fandom and things like that, because as fans, you know, we're torn a lot of times because we love what it's like entertainers or musicians. We love the music, we love the movie, but sometimes we just don't want to hear your personal views or your political views. And then when we do, sometimes it taints what I feel about that particular person and whether I'm going to support them in the future. By the way, I did say the word taint. So there's your joke for the day. Sophomore humor. But what I want to tell you is that I think from my perspective, this whole thing about standing for the national anthem, first of all, I absolutely believe in the rights of every person to say what's on their mind. The country was predicated on that. So I want to make that very clear. Even speech we hate, whether you personally hate what he did or not, he has the right to do it. Except for the fact, and this is where I think I veer off the road from where most people believe, I haven't heard anybody else with this perspective, so maybe this isn't new, but I haven't heard it, at least out in the media. And that perspective is, as a member of the NFL, you have certain guidelines. If you go to work for any job, the first thing they do when you go into orientation is they give you the handbook or the policy and procedure manuals or the code of conduct, whatever you want to call it. And so for me, the whole perspective with Colin Kaepernick and anybody else that's following suit, you know, there are a lot of parrots that see what's going on and do it as well, either in support of his stance or maybe they're not getting enough playing time, so they need a little exposure, I suppose. But from a workplace situation, this is where I have an issue with it. Because I know that on the clock, if I go into my job and I start protesting, no matter what it is, I'm either going to get fired, I'm going to get suspended, I'm going to get disciplined. Something's going to happen to me for protesting on work time. Work time is for work. And although the NFL and being a pro athlete is a little different work environment, it's still work. He's on the clock. When he's in his uniform, when he's on the sideline, he's on the clock. And no matter what he decides to do on his own time, and let's face it, during football season, he has none of his own time. Off season, absolutely. You can go be on Dancing with the Stars. You can be on America's Got Talent. You can go protest and give back. And yes, I know he gave $1 million to help fund his cause, which is great. That's fantastic. But where the problem lies with me is that he's doing this on the job in the NFL, or the team that he is playing for right now, the San Francisco 49ers, have not given him any repercussions. And the only reason I say that is because the NFL has a very long-standing tradition and precedent in taking political stands. I know just only a few months ago, the Dallas Cowboys submitted an insignia that they wanted to wear on their jerseys in support of the Dallas Police Department. And it was nixed by the NFL. No, you can't do that. We've also seen athletes from time to time put something on their uniform or on their shoes in some type of protestation. And they've been fined for it. And certainly with other controversies that the NFL has been dealing with, and not very well, I might add, including the domestic violence issues and the Deflategate situation with Tom Brady, which was ridiculous. The NFL is missing it again with this. They're so worried about somebody celebrating in the end zone after a touchdown and have made clear that that's not something that's going to happen. I remember the old clip. Frank Caliendo, I get confused sometimes. Frank Caliendo was on our show, and he's like, NFL, the Never Figures League, or the No Fun League. I think Jerry Glanville called the NFL the No Fun League. So they make really hard and fast and very blunt decisions based on that. But for some reason, they have decided to take a pass on this and not speak up one way or the other. And I find that that's unacceptable from a workplace scenario. You got to, if I went out of my cubicle and started protesting down the hall at the water cooler, not following protocol that clearly is important to the company because they enforce it in other ways, and they've decided not to do it in this way, I have a problem with that. And you should too. The leadership of the NFL has done a piss-poor job, especially under the guidance of Roger Goodell, in showing any kind. You know, again, look at the controversy in the short time he has been the commissioner of football. You've got the denying of concussion issues. You've got the domestic violence issues. You've got the Deflategate issues, and now you've got Colin Kaepernick and his protesting. And again, this has, to me, has nothing to do with his desire to bring a voice or bring a stand to any kind of social injustice that he sees. That's not my argument. As an American citizen, he has the right to do that. But he has the right to do that on his own time. And by subjecting himself as a workplace situation and a workplace with very high visibility, very high cachet when it comes to media. I think he's chosen a selfish method, and I think the feckless, spineless NFL has collectively turned the cheek on something that to me is pretty cut and dry. And in doing such, unfortunately, has continued to divide this country in ways that I find sad, disappointing, and continues to divide this country. It's sad. If you think about game day, if you think about the time you spend out in the parking lot, there's no protesting. You may protest you don't have enough cheese on your burger, but you're not protesting. You're not seeing black and white in the parking lot. You're not seeing groups of people separated in ways that it's portrayed in the media. I know when I'm at a tailgate, I went last weekend, there were people of all colors, all races, all religious beliefs, and that's who we are as a country. That's who we are. Is the world perfect? Absolutely not. Does our country have problems? Absolutely. But it takes no more than going to a game on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, putting down your phone, putting down your Twitter feed, putting down your Facebook, putting down your news feed, looking up, watch smiling faces of all kinds, and understanding that that is what makes this country the greatest country on earth, and what makes us unique and special. All right, I'm going to get off of that. I just wanted to get that out off my chest because so many people had sent us questions and wanted our feedback on Kaepernick, because I've been quiet about it, and it's important to so many of you, and you see the passion on every side of the issue, and my comments aren't meant to dismiss any of that, but simply to give you maybe a different perspective that you haven't thought of, and to highlight the fact that being out there and doing what you guys do on a weekend basis, whether you work in a mill, whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a police officer, fireman, school teacher, astronaut, I don't care what you do. When we all come together as fans, when we all come together as people, just people, with a common love of sports, with a common love of spending time together, it doesn't matter what we do in our daily routines. When we come together, we're a one. We're one people. Keep that in mind. Don't buy into the hype. We'll be back with more Tailgate Radio right after this. But first,
there's a town in Colorado called Golden. Founded in the gold rush, it was home to miners who spent 12 hours a day in the frozen ground digging for gold. But that land was rich in another resource, the Rocky Mountain water that runs cold and clear. One man knew the value of that water. That man was Mr. Coors. In 1873, he settled in Golden to brew the finest beer the town had ever tasted. The miners were grateful because when they sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as the Banquet Beer. Coors, the Banquet Beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Hey, Tailgate Nation, I want to talk to you about looking your best. You know, whether you're going for that job interview, you've got that big presentation on Monday morning, or if you're like me, you speak in front of large groups of people on a regular basis, you want to look your best. And in the words, the immortal words of one of my childhood heroes, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, you want to be custom made from head to toe. And the only way I know how to do that and look my best is with Indochino. Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands there is. They're making it easy for men to get great-fitting, high-quality suits and shirts at an incredible price. Here's how it works. Go visit Indochino.com. That's I-N-D-O-C-H-I-N-O.com. Indochino.com. Or drop by one of their 9 North American showrooms. You get to pick hundreds of fabrics and patterns and choose your customizations from lapels to pleats to jacket linings and more. Then you submit your body measurements and then you just kick back, relax, and get ready to step into the most stylish suit you've ever worn in just 4 weeks. This week, the Tailgate Nation, my listeners, can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389 at Indochino.com when entering promo code TAILGATE at checkout. That's 50% off the regular price for a made-to-measure premium suit. Come on, people. You've got to jump on this. Plus, shipping is free and your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. That's Indochino.com, promo code TAILGATE for any premium suit for just $389 and free shipping. You'll never have to worry about badly fitting suits or expensive trips to the tailor again. Get ready to look like $1 million and be custom made from head to toe. Do it. That's Indochino.com.
Hey y'all, it's Jess Saraceno, the original sports brat, and I am kicking off football season this year in a whole new way. Every Thursday at 10 p.m., you can join me as I talk about all things game day. As you know, thesportsbrat.com is a girl's guide to game day, so I plan on taking that to the airways. We're going to talk about tailgating and outfit selections, what to eat, what to drink, you know the deal. So whether you hate sports or you love them or you don't really care either way, come hang out with me as we talk to so many fun people and have a great time this season. See you soon.
There's a town in Colorado called Golden. Founded in the gold rush, it was home to miners who spent 12 hours a day in the frozen ground digging for gold. But that land was rich in another resource, the Rocky Mountain water that runs cold and clear. One man knew the value of that water. That man was Mr. Coors. In 1873, he settled in Golden to brew the finest beer the town had ever tasted. The miners were grateful because when they sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as the Banquet Beer. Coors, the Banquet Beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.
And welcome back to Tailgate Radio. The Grill Sergeant John Largent here, and we are excited to have our guest on this week. He is the founder of Stadium Journey. And it's just what it sounds like. They travel all over the country, maybe the world. We'll talk to him about it. And gives you reviews on all the great stadiums across the country. Welcome into Tailgate Radio this week, Mr. Paul Swaney.
Thanks, John. Thanks so much for having me on.
So, Paul, tell me about Stadium Journey. How did that get started? It sounds like a sports lover's dream.
Yeah, you know, I'm definitely a sports fan. It's born out of a love of sports and a love of travel. I found something about becoming a father about 7 years ago made me... And I think this is probably true of a lot of people when they become parents. You sort of look at, you've got a new understanding of life and sort of the fact that you are getting older and, you know, someday you are going to be, and this sounds sad, but someday we'll all be dead in the ground. And I really began to think about, you know, what am I doing with my life as far as work? Am I doing something that I really love? And if I could do anything, what would I do? And the answer to that question was, you know, more than anything else, I love to travel the country and see different stadiums. I think it's a great way to get to know our country. And so once I sort of arrived at that decision, I felt an obligation to begin to do something about that.
So how do you go from that conception? Because I know a lot of people, I mean, I think I saw a recent survey that said 3 out of 4 people don't enjoy what they do for a living. So how do you go from that idea of I wish I could do this to actually taking action and making that dream happen?
Well, and, you know, I was in a situation, I certainly wasn't unhappy per se with what I was doing. I worked for a large nonprofit organization in Chicago. And I found some intrinsic value in that work and helping others. But I didn't feel that joy of, you know, getting up in the morning and really being excited about going to work. And I found myself, I was in a conference in Houston at a hotel not too far from Minute Maid Park. This was in May. And I found myself sneaking away from the conference to go to Astros games. And I began to sort of put together a rating scale for going to stadiums and what really makes a great stadium experience. So that was really the first step for me.
Yeah. So what are some of the criteria that you look for when you go and check out a new stadium or go back and visit an old favorite?
Well, we look at the food and beverage that's served in a stadium, the overall atmosphere, and that's sort of the difficult one to measure because there's a lot of sort of feeling and emotion involved with that one. We look at the neighborhood where the stadium is based. Is it out in the suburbs? Is it downtown? We rate the fans and how sort of into the game that they are. The access, which would include things like parking and traffic, but also the ability to move around inside the stadium. We look at the overall return on investment. Is it worth the price that you pay? And then we've got one last sort of catch-all category for any extras that don't fit neatly into one of those 6 categories.
You founded Stadium Journey back in 2011, correct?
I've been doing it full-time since 2011. We founded the website in 2009.
So you've been all in since 2011. So over the course of the last 4 years, how many stadiums would you say you and your team have reviewed?
Yeah, I think part of the beauty of this concept is really there's a almost limitless number of stadiums that we could look at. We started off just looking at the 4 major sports, the 122 stadiums or teams in the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, and NBA. But, you know, we quickly expanded into college sports, basketball, and football first. And then we started to have sort of an organic growth where people would contact me and say, for example, I notice you don't have the Ontario Hockey League on your site. And I go to a lot of games, and they're really great, and I would love to write for you some of those experiences. And so a lot of our growth has come really just naturally from people reaching out to us and wanting to join, or even if they didn't want to join, they really wanted to see this content on our site. So we, you know, we got into NASCAR, we got into other college sports, we got into minor league sports, and at this point we've reviewed, I think the count now, it's over 2,000 stadiums, I think 2,040 in 43 different countries that we've reviewed.
Wow, so you guys have an international reach. That's amazing.
Yeah, we've got, I believe we have writers in 18 different countries and every continent except for Antarctica.
Now, how often do you get to go out and participate yourself? I know you've got a great team of writers, but as far as you getting out and experiencing and using your own judging system that you created, what does an annual tour for Paul Swaney look like?
I would estimate that I probably do 50 visits a year for the sole purpose of reviewing games. I might go to other games with my son just for fun, but you know, I really look at this as serious work when I go to a game to review it. I probably do about one a week.
When you go to a stadium, is there any geographic segmentation involved, or is it, hey, I'm going to go and check out Lambeau Field and, you know, that's your focus, or is it while I'm in the area, I'm also going to go to Soldier and I'm going to do some other things? How is that broken out when you do go and visit the different stadiums?
Well, it's certainly a combination. Most of my writers hold the job title, I guess, of regional correspondent. So I might have someone in, let's say, Milwaukee, who would also be responsible for Green Bay and Lambeau Field. So pretty much every city that has a pro sports team, I would like to have a writer there. And they might, you know, depending on their situation, they might cover just that city specifically, or they might cover, let's say, 200 miles around that city. Or other writers might cover a state or two. For me, I'm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan, so I'll cover the state of Michigan, and I'll pick up ones in Ohio and Indiana, Illinois. And, you know, also I'll get out on the road every once in a while and try to catch maybe four, five, six games in one trip someplace. I probably do fewer of those now than I did when we first got started. But, you know, the truth is the reason I got into this is I really enjoy taking those trips. And so I try to do as much of that travel as I can.
With all this information that's aggregated with you and your writers, can you tell us some about the website and how all that information can be accessed by, you know, Joe Sixpack like me that is interested in maybe going to a New Orleans Saints game, and I want to know something about the Superdome. So how does that work, and what all can they find on your website?
So the website, first of all, is stadiumjourney.com. And even though we write these as reviews, I'm a lot less concerned about sort of doing the critiquing of stadiums. You know, in a nutshell, what we're trying to provide is information for people so that they can make the very best out of any experience that they have with a sporting event. You know, sports can be, especially the big four sports. And so as much as we can, we want to make recommendations on things like where to sit in the stadium or where not to sit, what to eat. You know, is there a special food in the stadium that you should have? Where should you park? Is there a restaurant nearby you should be sure to try? Is there, you know, sort of a tourist attraction that you may not think of that you should try to hit while you're there? So as much as possible, we try to be sort of recommendation-based and share our experiences with people who are going to games so that they can make the most out of their experience.
So it's an actual just total immersion into that experience. So I would think that if you're giving those type of specific recommendations, that when you go into a stadium, you've got your walking shoes on, and you're looking at the field or the stadium from many different angles, from many different venues, and you've got to come with an empty stomach because you've got to try all the different foods that are in the concessions area.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt I've gained some weight doing this job. But luckily, you're right, there is a lot of walking involved, so hopefully those things sort of cancel each other out. But, yeah, we get to a stadium, and, you know, if it's a big stadium, we're trying to sit in the different seating options. Are there bleacher seats and, you know, club seats and, you know, sort of quote-unquote regular seats, upper deck, and sort of get a perspective, you know, does it vary differently, you know, based on where you sit? Are you know, should you sit closer to, if it's a college venue, to the student section or away from the student section? So, yeah, as much as possible, you know, because the fact is we're only going to experience the stadium one or two times before we write our review. So there's certainly going to be season ticket holders that know things that we're not going to notice on those one or two trips, but we're going to do everything we can to get as much information as possible. And sort of related to that, I really want to encourage people to share their expertise, to come on the website. There's a chance for anyone who visits our website to submit their own thoughts or ratings of a stadium and sort of share their knowledge. You know, someone who's had season tickets on the 30-yard line at the Superdome for 20 years, there's a wealth of information there that I would love to have them come and share that.
I'm here with Paul Swaney. He is the founder of Stadium Journey, stadiumjourney.com, and Stadium Journey magazine. We haven't even talked about the magazine, and I'm kind of old school. I love the feel of paper, that gloss. I like to flip pages. Tell us about the magazine and how we can subscribe to the magazine. I would love everybody out in the Tailgate Nation to find out how they can subscribe to Stadium Journey?
So the magazine, if you go to the website, that's probably the easiest way to subscribe to the magazine. And at the top right of all of our pages, there's a picture of some of our magazines. You can just click on there and choose the 6 or 12 month subscription. You know, we've got the option. You can do a digital magazine that gets emailed to you every month, or you can get the printed version in the mail to you. We tend to, with the magazine, we take sort of more of a narrative approach. We don't do reviews in the magazine. We talk about some of the very best stadium experiences in a given sport. So 1 month we might pick baseball. Another month we might talk about hockey, college football. And we sort of take a theme each month and then present 3, 4, 5, 6 really good experiences within that theme.
And one of the other things that that we haven't talked about is your cookbook. Now, I would dare say, with the listeners on the show here at Tailgate Radio, we're always looking for great recipes, great ideas, things that are synonymous with the teams that we follow. Tell us about the cookbook, because I think that's fascinating that not only are you reviewing the best of stadiums, but you've also got some great ideas and recipes for the teams out there that folks support.
Yeah, I love our cookbook, and I you know, obviously I'm biased, but I find myself pulling this out most Sundays in the fall. What we did is we took every team in the NFL and we created an appetizer, a main dish, and a cocktail that's sort of based on each team in the NFL or the region where they are. So, like with Baltimore, we've got a recipe for crab cakes, for example. For the Washington Redskins, we've got a sandwich that's sort of a tribute to the offensive line of the 80s and early 90s when the Redskins were winning Super Bowls that we call the Hog Sandwich, dedicated to Jeff Bostic, Russ Grimm, and Joe Jacoby.
Have you had a chance to sample all of the different recipes in the book?
So let's see, there's 96 recipes. I've not had every single one. We used, you know, kind of like we do with reviews, we used writers from all over the country. You know, I've made enough contacts doing this kind of travel that I've come across some really great chefs, a couple people that are executive chefs with different teams. A guy in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, who runs a gelato shop, a guy in College Park, or not College Park, College, University Park, Pennsylvania, where Penn State is, runs a deli there. So we found a whole bunch of different contributors who submitted their ideas for these recipes. And it was a lot of fun to put this together, and it was a lot of fun to sample these as well, but I'm still making my way through the 96.
Well, you know, we've got just a few weeks before the Christmas holidays. That sounds like that would be an awesome Christmas gift. How can folks pick the book up before the 25th of December?
Well, it's available on Amazon or Horizon Books or Barnes & Noble. Our publisher is Mascot Books, so you can also get it directly from our publisher on their website, mascotbooks.com. I really like to use this. The recipes are meant to be used either for tailgating or at home. I really like to use it if there's a big matchup on a given Sunday where I'll sort of prepare dishes based on both of those two teams. So I think it's a really good Super Bowl party cookbook or any sort of big game where you're having people over to watch the game. It's a lot of fun to sort of cook based on who's on TV.
Of the recipes that you have sampled, which one is your favorite?
Well, I go back a lot to the kielbasa stew, which is one of the Detroit Lion recipes. That's the one I probably made the most. It's sort of a spicy. You know, Detroit has a lot of different ethnic communities, so for our Detroit recipes, we sort of did a tribute to the Polish community and to the Greek community in Detroit. So we also have a squid salad, and that kielbasa stew is something that I go to a lot. That one's really good, on a cold day if you're tailgating on the parking lot to have a little cup, something hot and spicy.
2014, I won't go back since your inception back in 2009, but I want to put you on the spot a little bit for 2014. What's the best food, stadium food, that you have sampled this year?
There's some something about a cup of clam chowder at Fenway Park that just makes me happy, especially early in the season. So I was there in April and had a cup of clam chowder and a Sam Adams beer, and you know, it was sort of a cool day, but still nice. And to me, that's a perfect sort of moment when you're eating something that's local and you get the weather that cooperates. That's a perfect day for me. So I don't know for sure if that's my absolute favorite, but that's the first one that pops into my mind.
Okay, that's fair enough. What about the most unique stadium accessory? Has there been something that you've come across this year that you've said, wow, that is really interesting and pretty cool?
Again, this is sort of just stream of consciousness, and this might sound dumb, but one thing that I've noticed in a couple of stadiums is drink holders near the urinal. And I think this makes a lot of sense. You're always seeing people, they go and get their beer or their pop, and then they go into the bathroom and they try to sort of balance their drink, or they'll put it on top of the urinal. And it just seems really gross to me. The idea of having cup holders in the bathroom is I hope it's a trend that we're going to keep seeing, because I think it's a really useful, it's a small thing, but a nice thing.
Yeah, and you know, there are tons of tailgating products that do that too now. Everything from magnets, where you've got a cup holder that will attach to the side of a truck, to a plate that has a place to stick your drink, so you've got one hand free at all time. That is a truly unique, and it's a problem and a challenge that has existed for a long time, and that's really neat that some stadiums have acknowledge that and have addressed it.
Well, in general, cup holders are a really important aspect of a stadium, and a stadium that is going to have good fans, because you know what you can't do when you're holding a pop or a beer is you can't clap. You can't, you know, cheer and be rowdy. If you have a spot where you can put your drink and you know you're not going to kick it over, you can be a better fan, and therefore the whole stadium experience can be better. So it seems like sort of a trite thing, but having cup holders at the seats is a really important aspect of a good stadium.
And finally, I want to find out from you this year, for you personally, what has been your best stadium visit?
For this year, I'm first and foremost a college basketball fan. I know that most of your listeners are more football, but I had the opportunity early in the season to go down and see a Duke basketball game at Cameron Indoor Stadium, which was sort of a lifelong goal of mine. So I would have to say that one. And it wasn't even a big game. I can't imagine what that place is like when it's, you know, an actual conference game or Carolina's in town. So that was one that I'd really been looking forward to, and I was glad that I was able to see.
Well, that's fantastic. That you know, that whole basketball environment in North Carolina is unbelievable. And aren't those two schools like 12 miles apart or something like that? North Carolina and Duke?
Yeah, I think less than that. I think it's 6 miles between Chapel Hill and Durham. And there's a lot of good college basketball that's be. You know, the other thing I want to say that I learn again and again, I learn that, and then I forget it, and then I learn it again, is there's always a great experience that you never expect to be great. You know, I go to games sometimes just because we haven't reviewed the place yet and someone needs to go. And you just never know. You hit a small town, you know, a college campus, and sometimes you have a really amazing experience. College soccer is something that I'm starting to get into more, that, you know, we never see it on TV, but you go to a game live and you can have some really special experiences at these little, you know, 4,000-seat stadiums where the students and the fans are just crazy about their team, and you've never even thought, you know, it's never been on your radar as a place to go. And that's true all over the country. There's examples like that.
Well, Paul, I first of all want to thank you so much for coming into Tailgate Radio this week. How can folks check out all the great things you're doing over at stadiumjourney.com?
Well, certainly through the website is a great portal. We're on social media at Stadium Journey. You can find us on Facebook/Stadium Journey. You know, and the other thing I would say is if there's a stadium junkie out there in your listening audience who is interested and writing for us, Rome is always looking for more people who are passionate about going to games and sharing their experiences. So I'll go ahead and put my email address out there. It's paul@stadiumjourney.com.
Well, again, want to thank you so much for coming in this week. And, folks, I encourage you to check out Stadium Journey over at stadiumjourney.com. Hit them up on social media. And don't forget that cookbook. That's a great Christmas time gift. So get online and order that cookbook just in time for Christmas for that special someone. Paul, want to thank you again for coming into Tailgate Radio.
Thanks so much, John. Really enjoyed it.
All right, Tailgate Nation, that's going to about wrap it up for this week's show. I want to thank you for listening in and downloading this week's show. I want to remind you, you can hear our show on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, Audio Boom, Stitcher Radio, the TuneIn app for your smartphone, Podomatic, and at our website at tailgateradio.com. You can also check us out on our Twitter account at Tailgate Radio. And as we always say here, keep the drinks cold and the grill hot, and we'll see you in the parking lot. Adios, amigos. Catch you on down the road.
You've been listening to the Tailgate Radio Network. Any rebroadcast without the express written consent of Major League Beer Pong is strictly prohibited.
In 1873, Golden, Colorado was the home to miners searching for gold. And when the miners sat down for a well-deserved banquet, Mr. Coors brought a beer worthy of the occasion. That beer came to be known as Coors, the banquet beer. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. With great beer comes great responsibility.